Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Jay Reed and Hallie Collette of The Making Box, Guelph's hub for live comedy and education through improvisation. The live comedy business in Guelph has become big business, and The Making Box is leading the charge. Reed and Collette said yes and to appearing on this week's Politicast, and we will get to them in a minute. But first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a permanently basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all of that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you'll be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. And now on with the show. In October 2014, some bright and talented young improv artists had an idea to create a space for live comedy and improv in downtown Guelph. It was only supposed to last a month. But now, almost 2 years later, The Making Box is already looking to expand, as its small staff and legions of supporters have discovered that Guelph has a funny bone, and it has been tickled. Of course, The Making Box is about more than just what's funny, as you'll hear in this week's podcast. Improv is an exercise in listening and reacting, and while on many nights of the week, you might walk past 40 Baker Street and hear the laughs of the audience coming out the window, it's The Making Box's educational programs that are its bread and butter. Improv is the new team-building treat for groups and businesses in Guelph, and it also appeals to individuals looking to expand their own skills in the fine art of listening and reacting. You may not become the next Colin Mockery or Wayne Brady, but you will definitely develop new skills, and you will definitely have a good time. So as The Making Box counts down to what looks like the end of a very successful crowdfunding campaign effort to buy a new home, I talked this week to the two people behind the curtain to look back on where they've been, where they are, and where they're going. I caught up with Jay Reed and Hallie Collette at The Making Box in downtown Guelph.
This is Hallie Collette.
And this is Jason Reed.
Wait, that doesn't work that way. I guess we should introduce ourselves.
Sure. If
we're looking for the voice.
Yeah, all right. So, I'm Hallie.
And I'm Jay.
And together we are The Making Box.
There you go. I got caught off guard by the routine, sorry. But I just wanted to start off with talking about comedy in general. This has sort of become an industry in Guelph, and not just you guys, but there are other groups. I know there's a group of lady comedians who do a monthly set at the Cornerstone as well. Mm-hmm. Their name escapes me at the moment.
Is it That Time of the Month?
That Time of the Month.
That's actually a Making Box produced show.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but so, I mean, it's franchising for The Making Box, and it just seems like in the last year, comedy is the new industry in Guelph. Is that what it feels like to you guys?
It does feel like we helped push a boulder up a mountain for a while, and now it's going down the other side and we're chasing it.
Right.
So, and now it just we're kind of pushing it in the directions as it's moving very fast. And I think that there was always an interest in comedy, and just now the bucket of wonderful, intelligent, and clever people now have a playground to play in.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of this ridiculous video game called Katamari. And it reminds me, I was thinking about this yesterday, about how it feels with this boulder, where it started very small and you're just rolling stuff up. That's what this game is about. You're trying to roll up the universe. But you start small by rolling stuff up, and we had a small community, but as our community is getting bigger and as we're rolling more and more, our Katamari is growing and becoming more and more obvious, and more people are running to join us. And it's easier to pick up speed and easier to pick up people in our community. So the industry is more visible. It's been a fun change to be part of.
Do you think that it's something that was always there? There was always an appetite for
creating a comedy hub in Guelph, mm-hmm. Or is it more a matter of people didn't know they needed this until it was out there?
Oh, I think it's both.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Yeah,
because if you look to groups like the Guelph Spoken Word
community,
all this slam poetry, they have a monthly show that's focused on comedic pieces. Mm-hmm. So that's an example
yearly. It happens just once a year. Yeah.
But it still shows that it was already here. The seed was planted, mm-hmm. you know? The community, it was interesting finding those groups and bringing them to us. It feels like we're a home base for those groups because now we have lots of members from Guelph Spoken Word doing improv with us. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think ultimately people want to feel open, happy, and connected. And people are excited by trying something new as well. So I think there's just more and more people that believe that they can do it. Mm-hmm. And it's comedy is coming towards a place of playing guitar, where more and more people believe that they can do it and try it and want to work on it and get better at it. Whereas maybe before, it felt like something that was inaccessible, and that's what other people do that I maybe couldn't.
Right.
So it's becoming more commonplace of like a culture of comedy where people want to collaborate on it and are interested in the craft and art form of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely both. I think the comedy community, I think the seed was in Guelph already, and then there was a switch that went off when they saw us. You're like, oh, I can see myself doing that. So then the need grew.
Yeah.
Definitely both.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, kind of.
Where they, like, it was, it's yeah. even, it's, I don't even know, like, it's, we didn't build it until there were 100 people demanding that we did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like they all said, if you build it, we're already here.
Yeah. Or maybe even like there are people are here, now we need to build it.
Yes.
We'll find if they come, we'll build it. Sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so rather than I think it's important to say that rather than the Making Box, the people driving the Making Box saying, Guelph needs this.
Right.
It's actually been the opposite, where Guelph has said that we need this, and the community has said that it needs this, and we're reacting to the community. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying, here's an idea that everyone should do, everyone went, here's a thing we want to do, let's do it.
Yeah, which is so fabulous, because improv is just about listening, connecting, and responding. So we were just waiting for Guelph to give us its first improv offer, and we just accepted it and ran with it.
Yeah.
We just yes-anded Guelph.
I got this from your website. Making Box was only supposed to be around for a month.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original setup.
Well, this theater that we're currently in was supposed to only exist for a month.
Right.
So in 2013, late 2013, we started with one show called First Timers, where we had 10 people trying comedy for their very first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goal of the show, was to take all these people that were like, I would maybe try comedy, and put them all in a room together, because then when we kind of leap together, it's a little bit easier,
right?
If everyone's on the same page, we're all newbies, the expectation is we're all trying for the first time, it makes it just that much easier.
Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, and it's like, on paper, that's the worst show ever,
right?
Like, 10 people who've never done it, all getting up and trying it, the host even being someone who's never done it, the producers being people that have never done it. This is what it was. It was a whole bunch of people just taking a risk together. And collectively, that was celebrated. Let's dive in together. And then that show, that first show that we did, sold out in 5 minutes at the ANAF.
Right.
Then by the end of that show, we had 10 more people that were like, hey, I want to try comedy. So we booked another show. And then that went on for a year where we did shows every other week. And then finally it got to the point where we were like, we want to practice improv. We want to be able to give people the experience of practicing improv, learning about improv. And so we were like, we need a space for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, what if Guelph had the capacity to have a comedy theater? does Guelph have the capacity for a comedy theater? Right. So we're like, well, let's see if it could last 1 month. And so we built this space with the intent of it going for 1 month as an experiment, and then kind of analyzing it and being like, okay, could this work? And that month went really well. Really well. And we learned so much. And so we were like, let's do another month so we can apply some of these things that we learned. And then the third month came up, and we're like, well, things are going pretty good. Let's just keep going. And then it was like, oh, wait, are we staying here? And if we move, it's going to feel like we're going to move into our parents' basement or something. It will feel we're pulling away from something rather than growing. So if we went back to doing shows at the NF, it would have felt like we lost something rather than gained something.
Right.
And so, lo and behold, here we are a year and a half later in this space. So it's just kind of been an experiment that's gone horribly right over and over and over again. Yeah, so this theater was only supposed to last 1 month.
Right.
Yeah.
At what point did the education component come into it? Doing the improv classes and reaching out to businesses and using improv as a way to... I guess it's team building.
Yeah, it is. It was always part of the larger plan. So the intent of the Making Box from the get-go was to have live comedy, to have an educational component for public classes, and also have an educational component for professional development. And how we can apply improv to our day-to-day workplace interactions. So that was always a part of the game plan from even before the first show was ever run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it an easy sell to go to reach out to companies and say, hey, you want to do team building? Forget about sitting in a seminar for 3 hours with some guy, come in and do some comedy.
Right.
Was that an easy sell?
Well, it is a framework by which we can work together effectively and have fun while doing it. Mm-hmm. So that, in a sense, is very appealing. Because I think of improv training as the middle of the Venn diagram between effective professional development that actually works and it being not boring. Mm-hmm. And improv is right there in that Venn diagram middle part.
Right.
And so... the idea of selling it is even a word that most of the work that comes to us, we get emails asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've almost done zero outreach in terms of a traditional selling sense.
Wow.
It's really amazing, the word of mouth. And that comes from the Making Box Champions. Our students all have jobs or communities that they're part of, mm-hmm. and they've all gone and communicated their positive experiences and then come back at us with more opportunities, which is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've noticed, if we're talking about is it a hard sell,
mm-hmm.
Jay's 100% right. This is effective training that is positive and fun and engaging, but the word improv, we have found, is a very scary word to tell mm-hmm. people just across the board in general, whether they're taking a class with us independently or it is a professional development seminar, because there's a myth associated with improv that it's operating exclusively on being funny, and you have to be very fast, and you have to be so intelligent and witty, and the bottom line is the best improvisers are the most effective listeners.
Right.
So that's what our training focuses on a lot, is how mm-hmm. to listen to understand. So once we break through that fear of the word improv, the scariest word in the English language apparently, and talk about what improv teaches and what its values are, then all that fear goes away very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Especially in the actual workshop. Once we get in the door and once we start our training session, within the first 15 minutes, everybody's ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing, but we have to eliminate that fear and break down what improv is first
mm-hmm.
to get past that. That's the one challenging thing.
Well, that's a good point, because everyone associates improv with Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Exactly.
And people think, I got to be as funny as Ryan Stiles or Lee Brady or Colin Mochrie.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been very lucky. I've done performances with Ryan and Colin, and I met Greg Proops in Boston, and they are all hysterical human beings,
mm-hmm.
but they are some of the best listeners I have ever met.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with with Kinley Mockery, Colin's daughter, and she speaks so positively and proudly about her dad being the best listener. Mm-hmm. That's what it breaks down to. That's what we're communicating. That's why it's funny. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. In terms of how big maybe the making box can get, because it sounds like it has grown beyond even your own expectations. And I think when you start a thing, you have fairly lofty expectations for mm-hmm. it, no matter how realistic they are. Can the making box... Is there a point where the making box gets so big it's almost out of your control anymore? Or do you have your eye on big? Or is this... we're going to talk about moving to a new building in a minute.
Yeah.
But is there a point where you think that you can't get any bigger than this? And is that something you are interested in pursuing, getting that big?
Right. Here's two things.
Okay.
Last night... I was chatting with one of our students, and they had mentioned something to me about a future workshop that we're going to be doing that I was unaware of, and that was a wonderful experience for me. I was like, "Oh, that sounds great! I didn't know about that." And they're like, "Wait, does that freak you out that you don't know some things that are going on in the future?" And I was like, "No, it's the opposite. That's so great."
Yeah.
Because it's now it's its own entity,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is... So that's one element of it. Now, the other element is that I truly believe, and I would say we truly believe, that every human being in the entire world would benefit from taking an improv class.
Absolutely.
So, that goes against so many traditional business things of like, hey, find your target market.
Everyone!
But I actually believe that every human being will benefit from taking an improv class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a very small number of people that can't. Like, we've taught students as young as 4 years old all the way up to in their early 80s. Like, everyone mm-hmm. can benefit from this, really.
And so, with that, our mission is to allow people to become more open, happy, and connected through comedy and improvisation and build community through that. So, the more people that we can reach, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And the means is maybe not important so much as we continually give more and more people that experience.
Yeah. One thing I want to add about growth, big is beautiful. I love mm-hmm. it. And the nice thing about what we do is as we're growing, we are training more and more people. And I want to use Rob Lewin, our newest faculty member, as an example here.
Mm-hmm.
I met Rob when he was 14, taking improv classes in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and he was developing his skills. And then he took 1 year of training here at the Making Box, joined our performance ensemble, the Making Box Brigade, went through training to be an instructor, and now runs his own classes with us. He is a employee and works with the Making Box,
mm-hmm.
which is fabulous. And we have lots of people that are really excited to learn and grow with us. So as we get bigger, Jay and I will just have more people who are capable of communicating the Making Box message.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the brigade, our house performance ensemble, there's 15 of us, including Jay and I.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of those people I could easily send to go do a performance, teach in our camps that run in the summer,
mm-hmm.
be teaching assistants in our classrooms. We already mm-hmm. have 15 people kind of waiting on the bench, ready to learn and excited to be part of this. So growth isn't scary. There's tons of people just chomping at the bit to work with us. It's kind of awesome.
It's a real brigade. It's an improv.
It's a real brigade,
Exactly.
And there's even more, like, I feel like there's one person in every class at least that I can see continuing to champion with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, organizations are always looking for people that have the same beliefs. And so all of our students understand through the practice of improv what the core beliefs of what we do are.
Right.
So it's like our classes are almost a coaching program to find the people that would be amazing people that we would want to hire already. Like, there's already 75 people, then if there was enough work,
that would be all like,
let's
it.
Do it. Because
that's the only training the only training I would require for any staff member, regardless of whatever their position is at the Making Box, whether they're working the bar or helping being an office manager, is to take our level one class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything else we can talk about.
Yeah.
Right, you can take a YouTube class on Excel, but being present and being part of this, that's such a huge part of being part of our family.
The other skills are very, very important.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
That should be clarified.
yeah.
And however, at base requirement, we would never have someone a part of the organization that hadn't taken improv classes.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what you do as a part of the organization, that is the only essential component that would. I mean, we're talking so far in the future that
But we're thinking about it.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
It is a very interesting position to be in, where you create something that eventually creates jobs. Like the fact that Haley and I can self-sustain, our full-time careers is the Making Box.
Mm-hmm.
So at minimum, there's two jobs that have been created in this city through the practice of improv, and many, many more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very bizarre position to be in. We're just thinking, like, what you're doing is actually creating a job. What? We're just this, like, scrappy punk rock collective of entrepreneurs that happened to get nominated for business awards, which we're super honored and excited about.
Yeah.
And, like, the company that we're in is just bonkers.
Oh, man. Justin Trudeau would high-five us so many times. He would love it.
Stimulus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Growth. We like growth.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's scary, but exciting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a company in Guelph called Eagle's Flight.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with them? So I'm pretty sure they started in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, and they focus on experiential training.
Mm-hmm.
Their head office is in Guelph. I think they have, you know, somewhere between 50 and 100 employees. You can create an enterprise based on experiential training that eventually launches internationally from a city of Guelph that employs 50 to 100 people. Give us 30 years. I would love to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of see the Making Box maybe one day being next to Second City, let's say, in terms of names and comedy and improv and
Teaching. When it comes to Canadian improv training facilities and comedy theaters, I would like to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. There's no need to rank, because there's lots of. I worked at Second City for over a decade, and what they do is amazing, but very, very different than what we do at the Making Box,
mm-hmm.
where Second City focuses on satire
mm-hmm.
in their training, and we don't. That's a factor of what we do, but it's mostly personal and professional development through improv
mm-hmm.
in a very playful, exciting way. That
mm-hmm.
the byproduct is comedy and occasionally satire.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be on that top five list. Like, if you are traveling from Ireland and you're gonna come to Canada and you know you can land in Ontario
mm-hmm.
and you can hit up Second City, Bad Dog, The Social Capital, and The Making Box, awesome.
I would really love
for people to road trip to us. That'd be mm-hmm. sweet. So, and we're well on our way to being on that list. I think that's a very attainable goal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess being part of On Your Way is getting a new home mm-hmm. in the Petrie building. So, is that because you kind of want to create your own space, or are you kind of outgrowing this one?
Well, this one has always been a temporary home.
Right.
The intent was to last a month, so everything's kind of built that way. Like, that's a prop bar.
It's not real.
It's not, like, it weighs, like, 50 pounds rather than, like,
mm-hmm.
300 pounds of what a regular bar should be.
Yeah.
So a lot of things here are all temporary, very DIY, and we're limited by this facility in certain ways that we won't be in a new space.
Mm-hmm. That said, this space on Baker Street feels like home now. It is going to be hard to move. Ed has been amazing. The community's been amazing. This building has treated us very, very well. But we're at a place where it's not big enough anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in size, but in what we can do.
Yeah.
In the capacity of what we can do here. In a new space that we are designing for our purposes rather than a space that we just tried to make work for what we do.
We can have permanent lighting. We can have a space that is fully accessible by a wide variety of people, including youth and teens. Not that we don't have programming here already, but it'll be even easier to have that stuff running in our new space. More corporate and shows and events, more professional development training. Well, it'll just be easier to have a home base where everything is already there and it's permanently fixed.
And in a very magnetic location that's been the point of so much interest in Guelph and seeing that redevelop, too.
Yeah,
so it is important to clarify, too, that so the Petrie building itself, the four stories that you see from the street with the green windows, and the building adjacent to it will be interconnected. Share an elevator, and they will be deemed something along the lines of like the Petrie complex or something like that.
Yes, name so, TBA.
Name TBA. So that will share an elevator, and the Making Box will be in the building that was formerly the second floor of where Dino's was.
Right.
So, and the Petrie building proper second floor will be another tenant. So we will just to clarify, it won't be in the Petrie building proper.
Right.
We're in the complex, the integrated space, because that worked better for what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah.
That said, the history that is in our space is still astounding.
Yeah.
When we got a tour, we saw graffiti from the early 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. I reversed that in my brain. It doesn't make sense. There were old posters up. We went into the bait. Like, we got a tour of the whole, what will be the entire complex, and there's still a lot of amazing stuff on our side, and we share walls and all the old limestone. It's really amazing.
Yes.
And maintaining as much of that as possible is absolutely a goal of ours.
Yeah.
And we share that goal with our landlords, who are doing a fabulous, fabulous job of preserving the history of that space.
Great.
Yeah. I found a telegram from 1896 or something like that, that was sending drugs from the Montreal Drug Company to Guelph, because it was a pharmacy.
Yeah. Okay.
The Petrie, A.B. Petrie, was a pharmacist. And so the main floor, from my understanding, was a Shopper's Drug Mart. and the upper floor was Petrie's office. So there is even a designated room that was Petrie's office. Like, very
That's
classic,
super cool.
Like, 20s-looking office, like, giant wood door, like smoked glass, like the exact same thing type of thing that you would see like in the beginning of a film noir, like like the detective's office, like that's exactly what that room is. There's a fire vault in there.
We found so many empty bottles of formaldehyde in the basement. Like, it was so cool in there. They found a bone. Like,
there was a mystery bone.
A mystery bone. I could talk about that space for a long time.
Yeah.
It's fascinating in there.
With the mystery bone, it starts starting to sound like the H.H. Holmes murder mansion. Formaldehyde. And
All empty.
Yeah.
I want to make that super clear. There's not just full formaldehyde jars.
Oh, they were full.
Were they full?
Yeah.
What?
They were full, closed, and in a crack of the foundation.
I thought they were empty and they've been throwing the empty bottles in there.
No, they were full and very dangerous.
What a terrifying discovery.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, okay. Well, they have been safely contained.
I hope so.
Oh yeah. I trust. I have faith. All right.
Good. Now that people are scared to move, it's going to go down the you are doing the crowdfunding for that, yeah. And it's been fairly successful so far. I think as we sit here today, there's 25 days left, and you're more than halfway there.
We're actually, as of this morning, over 75% funded.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, you guys have enjoyed enormous success, but this is still a relatively, and from my own experience, this is still a relatively new area of fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
So, has it surprised you that, again, the community has rallied to you and said, yes, a permanent home, made to order, making bucks, that's what we need, that's what we want.
I'm going to go back to this yes and no feeling. It's like that Katamari, that boulder, where as we're rolling it, we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where I think there was a fear in both of us of, like, you know when you throw a party and no one shows up? Like, that's that fear of no one's going to come to my party. Yeah. It felt like that, but then all of a sudden we hit, like, launch campaign, and within 24 hours, we had already raised, like,
$5,000. It was at $5,000.
It was bonkers.
Yeah.
So it's as if everybody was running towards our beautiful improv Katamari.
Yeah.
And it's going, we love you already. We've been waiting for you to ask.
Okay.
Because we've had people approach us saying, for the new space, I am a contractor, let me help with drywall. Can I help you guys find paint? Can I help? Can I help? Can I help? What can I do? So once we finally asked, we have 104 backers right now.
Mm-hmm.
We had 104 people run at us saying, yes, please, finally. That's what it feels like. It's been overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the Guelph is excited by the idea of having a long-term home for comedy. And the initial post that we made about it reached 30,000 people online via Facebook only.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the majority of that was just through organic sharing. And so that is kind of just evidence of itself that people were really willing, wanting to share and celebrate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like how intense that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge chunk of the population of Guelph.
Like that's bananas. Like a third of the city saw that potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than that if weed out people not on Facebook.
Oh, right, absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's exclusively Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we have, granted, they're my family members, but we have backers. We have backers in Winnipeg. And so that means, even if it is my adorable grandmother telling people, my granddaughter's doing this cool thing, that means there's a community in Winnipeg that's talking about the Making Box.
Yeah.
And it's spreading to Vancouver. It's all over Canada now. Yeah. Like, we are getting messages from people across the country.
Yeah. As an improviser, you collect a lot of friends from all over the country at improv festivals where everyone comes together and then they disseminate back to their hometowns.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so that community has supported us from afar as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this pocket of people in Guelph that are really excited about it. There's also people that will maybe never come here that are very excited just by the notion that improv can reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
So people in Riverview, New Brunswick have supported the campaign. Wonderful human beings that we've met through improv that want improv to grow.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps to wrap up, take a minute to plug the theater, what's coming up, what's going on in the Making Box.
Yeah, we can say, generally speaking, the live comedy happens twice a month at the Making Box Theater, every second and fourth Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month at the Cornerstone for that time of the month. As well as those are the live, that's live comedy.
Yeah, and an exciting thing with live comedy is we are starting an open mic project. It's being head up by Rob, who I mentioned before, and another one of our interns, Cass. And they're going to be bringing open mic stand-up rooms to Guelph happening more frequently, which is an exciting project. I will just tell everyone to go to our website, look us up online for details on all of the shows. They're all posted under our buy tickets section.
Yeah, makingbox.ca.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
if you think that improv is for you, or you're completely terrified by it, I would encourage you to try it.
Yeah.
And we're kind of at a nice nexus point where our classes generally operate on a 7 or 8 week term. So if you were to sign up for level one, you would take a class every Monday for 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And we're just wrapping up our term three.
So our next term, level one, starts, it's the week of July 11th. It's a Saturday class from 2 to 4:15. Mm-hmm. If you're still hesitant, you're not sure if this is for you, it is, I promise. But we have drop-in classes the second Saturday of every month, and that's a really awesome way to dip your toes into this big ocean of improv. So the next one is July 9th from 12 to 1:30.
Yeah.
Perfect. It doesn't sound scary, except for the formaldehyde part. We might not.
You have to dip your toes into the formaldehyde ocean of improv.
Yes.
And then there went scary at the end, yeah. But Haley and Jay, thank you so much for
Thanks for having us. It was great. Great to chat.
And once again, that was Haley Collette and Jay Reed of The Making Box. And you can learn more about The Making Box at their website, makingbox.ca. Or you can connect with them through social media at facebook.com/themakingbox. On Twitter at TheMakingBoxCo and on Instagram at Instagram.com/TheMakingBox. You can also still contribute to The Making Box's Kickstarter, and there's still over 2 weeks left in that campaign. The link is in the show notes for this episode, so check it out. As for the Guelph Politicast, that's all for this week. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by emailing adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And, of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And thank you to everyone who has donated so far and continues to donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.